next on the 5 o'clock report.
I had a poem in kindergarten.
To Atiana's family, it's unacceptable.
A special day to commemorate all them.
It's actually been a lot easier than I thought.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. President Trump ordering sanctions against Turkish officials this afternoon and increasing the steel tariffs to that country 50% because of their ongoing military operations in northern Syria. Turkey began attacking the Kurds who helped the U.S. fight ISIS soon after Mr. Trump announced he was pulling the U.S. out of Syria. To Texas, the Fort Worth police officer who shot and killed a woman in her own home is no longer wearing a badge. Aaron Dean resigned today before being fired.
There is nothing that could justify what happened.
Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price.
On behalf of the entire city of Fort Worth, I'm sorry. To Atiana's family, it's unacceptable.
Dean shot Jefferson on Saturday after being called to her home for a welfare check. The former cop could face charges and a third-party investigation. While the legacy of Christopher Columbus has garnered criticism for some by his treatment of native peoples, others are happy to celebrate Italian-American heritage today. James Flippin reports on Manhattan's 75th Columbus Day Parade.
That journey on the Atlantic in 1492, still taught in schools.
I had a poem in kindergarten, like it was about Columbus. To celebrate what Christopher Columbus did for us.
Parents telling their kids there's lessons that connect to today.
Immigration, right? And a lot of things changed, and there were a lot of social pressures. Really a special day to commemorate all them.
James Flippin, New York.
If you ask the IRS for an extension in April, the deadline to file and pay all those taxes is tomorrow. People who don't file by then will be hit with a fine of 5% a month on the unpaid taxes. The IRS says more than 1 in 10 taxpayers asked for an extension this year. China wants additional talks before signing a trade deal with the U.S.
You have two countries in the United States and China that are both under a certain amount of political pressure for different reasons, but we saw it even in the Chinese economy overnight, that their economy struggling. The exports from China to the United States went down. Big time drop.
Analyst Connell McShane on Fox News.
And they made some progress. The idea of China buying more U.S. agriculture, the U.S. holding off on tariffs, at least for this week.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying today both sides made substantial progress in last week's high-level talks, but the agreement still needs documentation. An evangelical leader talks taxes.
Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke caused a stir, even amongst Democrats, when he stated last week that churches and ministries which refuse to embrace homosexuality and same-sex marriage should lose their tax exemption. Edward Graham of Samaritan's Purse tells the Christian Post that O'Rourke is wrong, but, quote, if they did that, I think God would give us beyond what we need in order to accomplish our task.
Michael Harrington reporting. Still to come this Monday, an uptick in New York homeschoolers, VPs in PA, and up a tree overnight.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for tonight. Turning out partly cloudy to clear for most, though there'll be a little evening cloudiness with a spot shower in places, especially in central New York. Low temps, 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, ample sunshine and pleasant, the high near 60. Wednesday, cloudy with stiff breezes, showers, and perhaps a thunderstorm. High temperatures near 60, but those temperatures drop in the afternoon through western New York and western Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Kevin. New York State's new vaccine laws caused more and more families to opt for homeschooling.
It's actually been a lot easier than I thought.
Tara McEwen from Hamburg, New York, pulled her two sons out of public school because of the vaccine law. She says it took her about 3 weeks and cost her about $100 a kid to do it.
Talk to your district. Make sure you file the appropriate paper.
In Buffalo, 15 students have made the switch to homeschooling because of the state's new vaccination law. Former Vice President Joe Biden will bring his Democratic presidential bid to Scranton on October 22nd. But as Family Life's Terry Diener tells us, his successor might beat him there by a day.
Biden's campaign confirmed the Scranton visit, but said it's still working out details of where and when he'll appear. He could wind up arriving a day after Vice President Mike Pence visits northeastern PA. Sources familiar with the preparations say Republicans and other officials are working on arranging an October 21st visit by Pence to at least one still undisclosed location. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. An estimated 400,000 women in the U.S. are affected by postpartum depression each year.
That can include low mood, tearfulness, withdrawal, anxiety symptoms, ruminating thoughts, really not being able to function.
Dr. Samantha Meltzroy Brody claims psychosocial stressors and hormones play a part in PPD.
For the women that suffer from it, that's 10 to 15% of all women that give birth. It's very, very common and something that we need to take seriously.
Brody tells Family Life News Zulresso has recently been approved by the FDA to treat the depression.
Well, you want to talk to your doctor so you can make sure you get the help you need, explore treatment options, and make sure you're then connected with appropriate treatment.
Cases of a new tick-borne illness have been reported in central New York. Upstate Medical University says it's treated two people for what's being called BMD. It's related to Lyme disease and can be carried by the same type of tick. Symptoms include fever, headache, and flu-like symptoms. Not much is known about BMD. The first human cases were reported in the Northeast in 2013. Impeachment could be impediment when it comes to re-election in some New York State congressional districts next year.
I think for any member who holds a district that is competitive or that was won by the other party's presidential candidate, this is a vote that is potentially challenging.
Kyle Condick is a political strategist at the UVA Center for Politics.
As the Republicans try to chart a course back to the House majority, I think New York is a natural place for them to look for pickups. And, of course, they'd be looking at those districts that voted for Trump but voted for Democrats for House in 2018.
In New York, three upstate congressional districts flipped from red to blue in 2018. But in 2020, the president is on the ballot and the turnout will be much higher. Kyle Condit says depending on how impeachment goes, Democrats who vote for it might be sending themselves to their political graves. Next at 5, Ralph Kerr with the Teaching and Learning Institute talks with Bob Price about children and school start times.
Let's talk about starting the school day a little later for the teenagers. This is a topic we've addressed before on this program. There was a poll put out by the New York State School Boards Association, and a majority of them said that they do support this for the high school kids. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there is a lot of support for it. When you ask teenagers, they love it. But more important, some of the research that's been around for a while now indicates that there can be some significant drops in tardiness. There can be less visits to the school nurse. Some staff say that they find that students are more alert and ready to learn. And even in one study, a big study by the University of Minnesota, student performance in all of the core academic subjects improved.
All right, we'll keep our eye on that. Alternative education in Pennsylvania, charter schools, cyber charter schools, it's a big debate right now. There's a representative out in Erie, Kurt Sonny, who wants districts to offer full-time cyber education programs. They would be mandated to at least have the program optioned for students. Should it be mandatory in Pennsylvania? There's a lot of people who aren't so sure that's a good idea, Ralph.
Well, it's really funny, actually, because the charter schools are able to do cyber education, and the folks in government are not happy about that because there's a lack of accountability and cost.
Yeah.
That is paid for by the local school districts. But I think it's funny because instead of fixing the lack of accountability and the cost issues, which certainly the legislators could do, they say, well, let's expand this to the public schools and have less accountability there also. So
yeah.
I think it's, while the representative is the chair of the education committee, obviously in a powerful position, I think it's just the wrong answer for a problem that they have in Pennsylvania.
There's a great debate in New York. I'm not going to talk about vaccines today, Ralph. I know you're happy about that.
Okay.
There's another debate. The state education mandate that public schools keep tabs on what this phrase has been termed as academic equivalency, that the public schools, for lack of a better term, are asked to babysit the private schools within their districts. Where is that case right now, Ralph? I've been getting questions from people about that don't like it. What can you say to that particular issue in Albany?
Well, the private schools really don't like it. And in fact, they've started litigation against the law, and therefore it's really hung up in the courts at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I might say that most public school administrators don't like it either, because it would be viewed as sort of an infringement on a right that parents have to choose private schools. So this is going to be tied up for a while, and we'll just have to see how the courts decide.
And finally, it is flu season. The experts are telling us this year could be pretty robust. And we're already seeing some cases and students out sick, teachers as well. Again, go over with us, Ralph, because it bears repeating those important reminders for protecting not only our children but ourselves as another flu season gets underway.
Yeah, absolutely. It is important. Obviously, get vaccinated if you haven't been. Make sure that you wash your hands regularly. Use a hand sanitizer if one's available in the school, or carry a portable one with you. It's really important to eat a balanced, healthy diet. And then also get enough sleep, maybe 7 to 9 hours a night. Those things can be helpful in working against getting the flu. Then some other really practical things that would be, if you are sick, stay home. Don't bring other kinds of illnesses to other people in the work environment. This is when I always feel bad for teachers, because, you know, they can be in a classroom where they've got 15 to 20 to 25 students coughing and hacking and, you know, all kinds of things. And it's really difficult for teachers at this time of year.
That's Ralph Kerr with the Teaching and Learning Institute. You can listen to and download Family Life news features at fln.org/podcast. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Here's Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. God's Word has a lot to say about work. We're told in Colossians 3:23 that whatever we do, we're to do our work heartily as unto the Lord. Ephesians 4:23 says we're to work, performing with our own hands what is good, in order that we may have something to share with those in need. And Ecclesiastes 3:13 talks about work being good and being a gift of God. The problem comes when we get things out of balance. Any entrepreneur knows it's very difficult to start a business working only 40 hours per week, but working 100 hours per week shows an imbalance between work, family, and God. Everything we do should be done so that people see Christ through us. Let's make sure they see the right picture of our Lord.
And you can learn more about trusting God and becoming a wise money manager when you contact us online, moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delphiac.
Thank you, Tracy. Monday Night Football coming to Lambeau Field. Packers hosting the Lions. Green Bay 4-1. Detroit 2-1-1. Actually, every team in the NFC North has a winning record. Nice. Nationals have a chance to close out the National League Championship Series at home. They're hosting the St. Louis Cardinals Game 3 tonight with a 2-0 lead. Steven Strasburg getting the start for the Nats tonight. Jack Flaherty takes the mound for St. Louis, which try to come back on the road. Should be interesting tonight in the nation's capital. Early action on the ice. Islanders beat the Blues 3-2. New Jersey remains winless, falling to Florida 6-4, and they call him Golovson. Buffalo Sabres rookie forward Victor Olofsson set an NHL record by becoming the first player to score each of his first 7 career goals. On the power play, Sabres leading Dallas right now in the third period, 4-0. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Some fairly active and changeable weather is ahead. An area of high pressure will produce a pleasant day tomorrow with ample sunshine. Then a potent front will arrive with wind whip showers and rumbles of thunder on Wednesday. In the meantime, for tonight, turning out partly cloudy to clear for most, though there'll be a little evening cloudiness with a spot shower in places, especially in central New York. Low temps, 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, ample sunshine and the high near 60. Wednesday, cloudy with stiff breezes, showers, and perhaps a thunderstorm. High temperatures near 60, but those temperatures drop in the afternoon through western New York and western Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, how would you feel stepping out of your apartment and finding a bear in a tree outside your door? That happened in State College, Pennsylvania. Family Life's Sarah Harnish has more.
The young bear got spooked Thursday after it was grazed by a vehicle in State College. So it picked a nice tree in front of Nittany View Apartments and camped out. It sat in that tree for a good day before anyone was aware that he was there, spending most of the day Friday lounging 70 feet off the ground. Eventually, he attracted a large crowd and a police presence. Game Commissioner Warden Dan Murray says, "We waited until dark, but the bear had not even thought about coming down the tree. They had to shut down Allen Street and haul in the Alpha Fire Company, which used a hose to bring the bear down. Then he was tranquilized, given a health checkup, and released. No broken bones, no serious injuries, but he is State College famous now for hanging from a tree like a ninja bear." Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. And that's the world we live in this 14th of October. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.